Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Ronning and Gary Gallagher here from RE/MAX every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 1 o'clock. Mr. Gallagher, how are you doing on this first show of the new year?
Well, yeah, Happy New Year to everybody. I hope everybody had a great New Year's. Jim, we still don't have any snow. By the time this show airs, I think we're going to have some snow. But it's been a light winter so far, and some people like that, and some people don't like that. And
right.
So I think it's interesting enough when it comes to real estate, Jim. How this affects market. I think we both know when you have these major snowstorms and this cold weather and all that type of stuff, what it does to the real estate market. And I think last year was such a slow market. Can you attribute it to the snow that we had, the record
snow
that we
had
last year?
I always I always thought that was a real big thing, if it was just too deep, people were kind of sick of the winter weather and they just wanted to take a break. But yeah, so I think it helps a lot.
Well, I do too.
No
I think
snow,
it, it
right?
makes an impact as to, people being able to get out with a little bit more ease of walking to a house instead of trudging
right.
through snow.
But you're going to get some snow this weekend, right? Maybe?
What's that?
Are you going to get some snow this weekend, I heard?
Well, we're getting snow as we speak.
It's very good.
It's snowing, and it's going to be the first, I think, significant event that we've had, and so that's good. There's a lot of, they canceled the Bear Grease, the sled dog race, the snowmobilers. Listen, if you were... These companies that sell your snowmobiles and sleds and all this winter sports stuff, I got to tell you something. If they put their orders based on last year's snow,
right,
they're not doing well.
No.
I can see that. I know one of our advertisers was Duluth Lawn Sport, and I'm curious as to, what they're doing, because this hurts a business like that. With no snow, especially if they order, significant inventory for that. So you got all those types of things too to consider. But the lack of snow is, like I said, some people like it and some people don't. Jim, we have a new mayor.
Yes, that's real exciting news. We have interviewed him on this real estate show several times, and I think that he is a wonderful, wonderful man. And I think Duluth is going to have a bright future.
Mayor Reinert, as
Mayor
we can now
Reinert,
address
yep.
him, took the oath of office on Tuesday, and new city councilors took their oath on Thursday, and so we have quite a change going on in City Hall, their city administration, with leadership, and it'll be interesting to see how it all evolves, because obviously I think one of the big topics this year was housing. On the campaign trail, and one of our agents, Lynn Nephew, is actually a new at large city councilor.
Right. Yeah.
And she's certainly focused on housing. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, how the process will go, and everything. But one of the things that they had there at the I wasn't at the actual thing, but I saw it on the news clips. They had invited the previous mayors that were there, and everyone was there,
right,
going back to the early 70s, except Herb Bergson. And you had Mayor Fito, if you remember Mayor
John
Fito.
Yeah, I saw his
Mayor
picture
Brody
online.
And
I saw Mayor Fito's picture online, and man, he looks great.
Back to this. Listen, he was a mayor. I don't know if you recall this, but he took over being mayor of the city of Duluth in a very difficult time.
Right.
And, you go and look back at the early 70s up here when there was a lot of that first energy crisis that, if we went through all that stuff and then we lost our steel plant, the shipping went down, the railroads, all that stuff. And a lot of people left Duluth. It was a real dark time for Duluth. And Mayor Fito came in, and if you remember the Canal Park area, Jim,
is that about the time that Geno's closed as well and moved?
Geno, yeah, all that stuff. But
right.
but you if you remember the Canal Park area back in
oh,
the
yeah.
day,
The warehouse bar, Gary. I remember that.
Well, I don't. I was never. I never went to the warehouse bar. I know. I was never in that place. But that area down there was completely industrialized. I mean, you had
right.
I used to like to go down there. Auto parts. Heavy. I think it was called Lyle Brothers. I used to hang out.
Yeah, one of the biggest towing companies was down there. They had a big yard full of towing trucks.
Where all the hotels are now, and the lake walk there, you couldn't get down to that lake from there. I mean, that area was just full of industrial junk. And I think what happened, and then you remember right across from the deck, you know, as you go towards downtown, it was all railroad tracks. And Mayor Doty was, or not Mayor Doty, but Mayor Fiedel was instrumental in bringing that new freeway through and reimagining Canal Park.
Right, yeah. Finally getting it completed. Remember how it was it just stopped for a decade or more, the freeway.
It never continued through downtown Duluth. It and then there was all the debate on where is it going to go. But he was the mayor when a lot of that stuff took place. And that was a very difficult time for the city of Duluth back then. And, you know, you remember well when housing was again, very cheap and interest rates were extraordinarily high. And to be able to reimagine and recreate Duluth into what it is now and a very big tourist attraction, that was a lot of Mayor Fiedel's doing. And I think that guy deserves an awful lot of credit for putting Duluth back on the map. And then I think he was a three-term mayor. I don't remember. And then Mayor Doty was a three-term mayor. Yeah. And so I think Mayor Snively, when you go back to the 20s, he was a four-term mayor. I think he was the longest-serving mayor.
It'll be interesting
to see what Mayor Reinert can do and how long his tenure will last.
Can I tell you what I think the boon is there, Gary?
What's that?
I think the real big positive for Roger Reinert being the mayor of Duluth is, I mean, he is a politician. I find him to be a very honest and refreshing politician. He knows everybody. I think everybody likes him. I can't understand anybody that wouldn't like him. He's a very respectful person. I think that he's got an influence there that hasn't been in the mayoral office of Duluth. And, I just think that's going to help a lot. You know, I mean, if they have to lobby for money from the state or whatever, these things that all cities do every year with their budget and stuff, I just think his political connections are going to help, you know, I totally agree with you.
I can't agree with you more on this stuff, but I think leadership, Jim, comes in many shapes, forms and sizes. And I think when you look at leadership and you look at some of the things that Mayor Reinert's been through, he certainly is qualified to do this job and to lead our city. And so I think we're all hopeful and we all have a lot of hope that this is going to be good. But one of the big things, Jim, and I think one of their big initiatives is certainly going to be housing. And when you look at what Duluth and some of the reputation that it has, I think they're really going to try to tackle that problem and make Duluth a much better place to do business and build houses and get us some new construction up here because it's long overdue. Much needed, and I think that will be one of the big priorities that they have to deal with. So it's interesting to see that, and so a lot of changes going on, and how it all shakes out, we'll continue to watch that and see where it all goes.
So Gary, we got about 2 minutes left, and I want to ask you a question: how's the market?
The market's not too bad. I mean, it seems to have some energy in it. The interest rates are. They're up a little bit from where they were a couple weeks ago. The 30-year is running at 30-year conventional is running at 6.5, and the 30-year VA is running at 6.5, and the 30-year FHA is at 6.625. So they've gone up a little bit, but I think the market is going to has adjusted to it,
and that's the
2024 will become. Hopefully somewhat more of a normalized market.
Well, I think that the interest rates now are becoming a normal thing in the minds of buyers. And they're like, if we're going to move, the interest rates can't be the only thing that stops us. And, you know, if you bought, even if you have a good interest rate and if you bought, you know, back several years ago, if you're going to start expanding your family and your house is too small, you're still going to bite the bullet and do it. So I'm seeing that down here. So I'm sure that the market's going to be healthy up there as well. So, hey, Mr. Callagher, we're going to be coming up on a break here. So before we do it, though, why don't you give out your phone number?
I can be reached at 218-390-0615.
Yeah, and I can be reached down here in Punta Gorda, Florida, 218-348-7653. So, all right, Gary, we've got about 30 seconds left. What did you think of any of the championship football games from the college football? Did you get a chance to look at that?
Oh, I did. I thought Washington and Texas was a nail biter.
I did too.
Very thrilling. Michigan Alabama was also good.
Yep.
So I think Michigan and Washington is going to be a good matchup. It's going to be a high powered offense against a good defense, and we'll see what happens.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Why don't you hang in there? And you're tuned into the Twin Ports Real Estate Show right here on KDAL. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Ronding and Gary Callagher here from RE/MAX. Of course, Gary is up there in the Twin Ports, and I'm down here in Punta Gorda, Florida. If you have interest in Florida real estate, give me a call. My number is 218-348-7653. And Mr. Callagher, how about some digits for you?
Up here in the Twin Ports, I'm at 218-390-0615.
All right. So we were talking about, buyers just kind of, throwing up their arms saying, the interest rates are the interest rates. And I think you're right. The whether they bought a house when, let's say, somebody first got married and they got a really low interest rate, but they got a smaller house and now they want to do a family expansion, they're going to kiss that 4.5% mortgage goodbye and try to find a new house, aren't they?
Well, it's just the way it's going to be, I think there's pluses and there's minuses to this. And I think if you go back 5 years, 6 years, even, 2017, people were buying their house. We weren't really in the super frenzy at that point. And so if you bought your house back in 2016, 17, 18, even into 2019, you've got equity in it. There's unless you've tapped the equity out, you bought a house before this like supercharged frenzy took off, right after we got through most of that pandemic. That's when we really saw these pricing frenzies. And so, you go, if you bought in that era, you're going to be okay. If you've got some significant equity in your house, you're going to pay your higher interest rate, you're going to have enough for like a significant down payment to where you're going to be able to stomach, getting, if you can't get a 15 year loan, maybe get a 30 year loan and just pay it down. So I think that those people are going to be okay. I think the problem comes in, Jim, when we get into like 2020, 2021, 2022, those are to me the frenzy years. Where we had basically a 3 year period of like just supercharged prices. And I think when, yes, those people had good interest rates, but they also paid a premium for their house. And when we all know what people did, paying significant amounts of money over and above what the asking price was, that's to me is where, when is that going to, how is that going to shake out? And that could be another several years before we start to see what's going on with the people that bought in, like I said, 2020 through 2022. And we could still be 2 or 3 years away from that. Who knows, if you go in a 5-6 year cycle. But hopefully the market stays stable enough where the folks that paid these supercharged prices on these homes in that era don't get into a situation to where they're underwater because they paid so much money for their house.
Right.
And they can't, if the market tanks in, 2, 3, 4 years or whatever, what's it going to look like if they have to sell? And nobody knows. We simply don't know what the market is going to look like as we move into the future. But I still think we have a solid 3 to 4 years of millennial buyers buying houses coming into their peak years of consumers and their peak home buying years, 28 to 35, that we're still going to have that demand for buying single family homes. And so my hope is that we're going to be okay, but we just don't know. And so trying to predict what's going to happen Who knows? But my point in all this is that I think we're going to start to see the inventories increase. Thereby, I do think that we'll see some easing of the prices, simply because there's going to be more to choose from, because I think those people that bought from 2016 through 2020 are going to start to have to sell their house at some point. And so I think that, yes, they had the good interest rates, but their life changes, those types of things, Jim. It's just simply something that they can't wait any longer. And I don't know. What do you think?
Well, and I think regardless of, I kind of think that the Twin Ports are, I wouldn't say immune, but I mean, let's say that real estate isn't as rosy as it's supposed to be this coming summer. I think that the Duluth Superior area is going to be well insulated from that, because people want to live there. That's number one. Number two, there are jobs, and jobs is, well, I guess jobs would probably be number one. You know, and I see that similarity to us down here, because people actually want to move down here to Florida, and the employment situation is still the same. I mean, if somebody actually wants a job, they're not going to have a hard time getting one down here. So yeah, I think that you know, people are saying, look, we're staying, we're not going anywhere, we're going to make this decision, and let's look. And as far as your value thing, I think that is also going to bode well for those people who may have overpaid a little bit in an overheated market. But I'm thinking that because of the areas that we're both in and that we both work in, I think that we're going to be good. And it's certainly showing down here. There's more activity now. The first of the year clicked by, and you know, this is Florida, and people are flying in all the time, and they come in and they just want to go look at houses for 3-4 days to purchase. So I think it's happening, and the market down here, I think I've got a positive outlay on it. I think it's going to be really good, and I think that we're going to have sort of maybe a graduated increase in property values rather than the stark increases that we've seen, you know, the meteoric jumps that sometimes it seemed like the prices took. So that's a welcome sight. And I think you're right. I think the balance part of the inventory, where there are going to be listings on the market, that's going to hold things a little bit more in check too. So positive thoughts. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this year is going to be good, whether you're buying or selling.
Well, I think the other thing too, Jim, is I think, and we've talked about this over and over again, that real estate is local in nature. And I think that there's always going to be markets that are going to be good. They're going to be solid. They're going to be, you know, competitive. They're going to be multiple offers on listings. Then there's going to be markets that are simply going to be stale. And, you know, where those end up being and what parts of the country, I think, you know, as you alluded to, I think Duluth is, or the Twin Ports in general, I think can be insulated from that, simply because I think that there is an attraction to this area that people are still discovering it, and maybe they want to come here. And I think with all the talk of the remote workers and those types of jobs, you know, I think that bodes well for, you know, housing in this community. And so I think I'm still bullish on the Twin Ports as a housing market, but we have to do something up here to create more affordable new single family homes. And that's been the talk for a long time. And so hopefully we can achieve that. I think the market overall, I think it's going to be healthy. I think we're going to be better than last year nationally. If we can exceed 5 million unit sales, that's going to be good. I think all-time record is like 6.4 units. You know, we've been running in that 6 million unit range nationally over the last few years. So the drop under 5 million, which we experienced last year, and, you know, with the outlook from some of these experts saying that, you know, if we can exceed 5 million, that's going to be a success. That's all positive. And I think the interest rates are certainly tied to that. Obviously been one of the biggest stories we've been following for the last little over a year now. So, and I think it's the one of the going to be one of the big stories moving forward. Where's that mortgage rate going to stabilize? And I don't think anybody knows yet.
Right. And I think the other thing that, you know, as far as a balanced market goes, excuse me, I've been watching the MLS down here. Excuse me. And I don't know about up north there, but the expired listings that did not sell the first time around when they were listed for sale are kind of higher than they were last year. So it means that there's more listings out there. People are still trying to shoot a little bit higher price, and it's not always working out. So, you know, that's another interesting thing that I've been paying attention to. Have you noticed anything like that up there, Mr. Kelleher?
No. Well, the market is starting to balance itself out. I mean, there's no question about it. But ultimately, where it ends up and, right. You know, what it looks like, I think that remains to be seen. I mean, we've talked for years about what is a balanced market. And a balanced market is a market that typically has a 3 to 4 or a 3 to 5 month supply of homes. Meaning if we stop taking new listings right now today, we'd have enough to sell for the next 3 to 5 months. And we haven't had that market for a long time.
Right, that's right.
I mean, it's been years. I mean, we've been running, in some cases, less than a month supply of homes. That's a seller's market. And, you know, until we can achieve some type of a balance where we have the inventory exceeding the demand, you're still going to have these price wars and these multiple offers. And we're not there yet. I mean, we're just simply not there yet. And so we have... I think we're going to get there, but I still think we got a ways to go before we get to that, what we would consider a balanced market, to where we have a 3 to 5 month supply of homes on the market. And I do think we'll come back to it this year, but right now it's still too early to tell where the numbers, my goodness, we're only a few days into the new year. So, you know, until we get the first 30 to 60 days worth of data available, we're not going to be able to look at. We can look at it right now and say we have more than a balanced market. We have a lot more listings available than we have sales going on. But the fact that remains is that we just don't have enough data to look at it and analyze it like correctly right now.
Yeah, but I think that you're right in every area. I'm kind of looking forward to this year. I think that the market's is going to be healthy, it's going to be balanced, and you're going to be able to, as a buyer, I think that you're going to be able to, you know, look at more than three houses, you know, before you have to make a decision, you know, in order to, you know, not lose out, which has been, you know, the case. So it's good news, I think, for us and for the consumer out there in general.
Jim, some of the top stories locally here for 2023, where obviously the mortgage interest rates have been at the top in the forefront. Jim, some of the top real estate stories for 2023 locally here in the Twin Ports were mortgage rates. I think obviously the rates are going to be at the forefront of any story as we move forward until they stabilize. The sale of the Central High School, Jim, I think that's one of the top real estate stories locally. That's been in the news for years, but to finally see it come to fruition and actually happen, I think that's certainly a big story.
Actually close. I mean, that is very important. You know, they've been to the altar a couple of times, so this is good.
One of the other top stories, Jim, are tiny homes. That was certainly in the news locally here. And although we dealt with basically one of them, it was still a significant story. And the outcome of it wasn't very pleasant. But I still think we're going to continue to hear about tiny homes. But I don't think we'll hear about them in the same light that we've been hearing about it. I don't think you can plop a tiny house, a house that isn't like the surrounding houses, into any given neighborhood. I just don't think you can do that. I think they have a place, but I don't think it's in a neighborhood, an already established neighborhood. So, but they're certainly in the news as well. One of the other things, Jim, that we were talking about, and I think is going to become a lot bigger as we move forward, and this is certainly a local story, but it's also a state and national story, and that's the lead water lines. And how we're going to end up dealing with that and what that's going to look like, because I think that's coming down the pike as in terms of like people, you know, monies are going to be made available for people to change their lead water lines.
I think coming down the pipe was the right way to put it, Gary.
I don't know if this is mandated yet, but I think that it's going to be required. So we'll continue to follow that story. our friends at the Cozy Bar are always in the news, Jim, throughout the year, and haven't had any big comings and goings from the Cozy Bar, but we'll certainly continue to follow that one. I think another story, Jim, that has been in the news that is going to continue to be in the news is the what happens with the Lester Park Golf Course. I think that's going to continue to be a big real estate story as we move forward. And what I know the new mayor is certainly pro golf course, pro development there, and so we'll see what happens with that. I think also some of the development that's been going on in Duluth with apartment complexes, senior housing, those types of things, those are certainly big stories, Jim.
Well, and speaking of developments, I think one of the other big stories is going to be the London Road story of the developer, you know, just kind of having to give the project back to the bank, as I think is what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, no question about it. That's an unfortunate story.
Yeah.
But I do think that is something that hasn't resolved itself yet, and we'll have to see what happens with that. And the biggest concern, Jim, that I look at when it comes to housing down there is they're going to, you know, London Road is earmarked for a very significant project starting, I think, at the end of this year and into 2025. And I thought that project was supposed to be completed by then. If they don't have that project completed, and then they start doing the London Road reconstruction project, that's going to be kind of messy, don't
right.
It? And so that's going to be a story for us to follow as well.
All right. Well, we got about another minute in this segment. Any other, what do you think are top stories there in the Twin Ports?
Well, I think another one that we dealt with was, do you remember the what they called the Astoria Hotel, building down on First Avenue East and Superior Street? There was some issues with tearing that down, and the historic preservationists tried to stop the demolition of that. But as a matter of fact, there was just a story on this a couple of weeks ago where, I mean, they had tore that building down and they didn't get the chance to actually litigate whether or not they could put a stop on that thing. And the court actually threw it out because it was like, well, the building's already down. What are you going to litigate? What are you going to do here? And so that was certainly a story in the news.
Yeah, we got to take a break, Gary. Folks, you're tuned into the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Rondon, Gary Callagher here from RE/MAX. Folks, if you want to reach me down in Florida, it's easy to do. Just call me up, 218-348-7653. Anything about Florida real estate, if you're looking in the market, or if you're just curious about what things sell for or whatever it is, just give me a call and we'll chat about it. And Mr. Callagher.
Up here in the Twin Ports, Jim, I'm at 218-390-0615. Jim.
Yes.
You and I have had discussions about the malls across the country and the aging and the lack of some of these malls in different communities across the country being completely shuttered and abandoned and just going by the wayside. And what has happened to some of the malls, you know, that were built primarily in the late 60s and early 70s has been, you know, staggering. And so now, you know, you and I have talked about, well, what can we do with them? What are some of the repurposing of them? Some of the zoning issues that go on with them, that type of stuff. And there was an article on Twitter earlier this week that I happened to come across that I thought was really crazy. And it was posted by, I'm not even, the, one of the guys' name is Mike Solana. He started and I don't know where he's from, but a guy named Vihar Kohli. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. I hope I didn't butcher it too bad. But he said one of the best ideas that he has seen, the repurposing of a mall, this comes out of a place in Holmdel, New Jersey. And this was a facility that was actually purchased by Bell Labs. And what they did was they built a village town square.
Right.
And they, this complex, Jim, was 3 football fields long. And instead of just regular retail shops, they built this thing and it has everything a community needs. They have daycare, healthcare facilities, offices, wedding venues, restaurants, outdoor, indoor parks, and much more. And they built an entire residential neighborhood to surround this complex. And they did, and they've got some pictures of it online. And they, what these developers did with this thing is just simply astounding. When you look at the scope and the scale of this thing, and what they did to repurpose an old mall that had completely been shuttered. But the other part of this is, you know, when you're on Twitter or like anything, you know, people can make comments, they can make remarks. And as I read through this, I was just really blown away by the amount of people commenting and what some of the ideas were for what we can do with these malls across the country right. that have just yeah. been shuttered. And, you know, there's talk about, you know, continue to repurpose these things, making grocery stores, gyms, everything within walking distance. And this one guy has actually lives in Minnesota, and he thought his comment was that he thought these villages or these malls that they're repurposing would be great for these types of things because we live in such a cold environment. And so having that type of stuff was ideal, but they all center around housing, Jim, and housing, and then everything that we need for the convenience of our lives.
Right.
And you know, when you think about
medical
this,
and dentists and yeah, just all kinds of things. Yep.
It's staggering that you have these types of ideas. I mean, and when you think about it, listen, you talk about gated communities a lot. Across the country, everybody lives in a gated community, you know, and with everything that goes on, you know, and we have a lot of social issues that are going on across the country and, you know, people living in neighborhoods. If you can control the environment that you live in and you've got all of your conveniences, you know, it's not like, you know, I'm not saying we have to live in like a bubble, but I think this is probably something that has merit. And this is not a bad idea to where you can build a housing development and then you can have all the associated necessities that people need.
Right.
And because I think with the explosion of, like, let's take Amazon, for instance, people have really gotten away from the tradition of, like, let's go out and spend time together. Let's go shopping. You know, let's just go hang out, you know, with our family, do whatever, you know, your friends, you go and you shop. And we used to do that all the time.
Right.
Now it's like, hey, I click my stuff. I don't have to leave the house and all that kind of stuff. But it's not helping a local economy. It doesn't contribute to a local economy. And so if you can have these types of facilities, Jim, would that be something that people would buy into? I mean, you know, you think about it here locally in the Twin Ports, and we don't have a lot of shuttered malls. I mean, we just don't have them.
Well, and you remember, do you remember the one in California that we talked about a year or two back when they were in, and I wonder how it's progressed since then. They were going to be voting on a mall, the board that was going to decide the repurpose of it, and they were going to make like a town of tiny houses, like right alongside where the mall used to be. They were going to tear up, you know, I don't know what it was, like half of the parking lot, you know. And they were going to put in a new neighborhood of tiny homes. And I'm curious, that's one way that they've redeveloped or an idea for it. Here, the Port Charlotte Mall did go into bankruptcy and it was resold to a new investment group. And they're going to repurpose that area too. And one of the ways they're going to do it is, you know how the malls are all set up? You know, the big boxes are on the ends. You know, and then there's connections. So I think they're going to tear down like one of the big box stores, you know, or maybe the two on the end. And then you've kind of got the strip center in between, the movie theaters are in between. And then with that additional room, you know, there's kind of like a circle drive around this mall and there's restaurants on the outside. They're talking about creating more restaurant space on the inside of that outside, if it makes sense, and put in a new service road. And you know, so there's going to be all kinds of new development. The area is very busy. It's surprising the mall didn't make it as a mall, but they're going to scale it down and then repurpose, rebuild. And I like the idea. I think it's going to work because, you know, you just can't get enough restaurants, it seems, these days, because they're all busy down here. So it's very interesting concepts that they're talking about.
Well, I thought this was a really cool idea, but I was also surprised at the amount of comments that people put out there. And, you know, they're still throwing things out there. I mean, things like, you know, you can create farmers markets. You can just do a whole, any number of things that you can do, you know, and so I think ideas like this are good to see. And ultimately, if you can repurpose these facilities, these sites, you know, is that a bad thing? You know, and I can't see it being a bad thing, Jim. I think that this is right. Probably could be a new wave of you know, the way people live, the way people want.
Well, and you know, some of the communities that have been trying to repurpose these places, of course, they have to enact some zoning changes, you know, in order to do it. And that's when the idea people come forward. And there's some objections to, well, I guess there's objections to everything, anything anybody tries to change inside of a city, it seems. But some of these people come up with some other ideas about, well, no, this is what we think it should be. And it gets kind of bogged down in the political side of it is what I've seen. Because I know it took a bit here to get that kind of repurposed idea chugging forward. So that's unfortunate, but I guess it's just the way that things are. They have to do something, and a big old empty mall with a, you know, a degrading parking lot just sitting there being unused, that's not good for a community either.
No. Jim, one of the other top stories that I had written down,
we have about 2 minutes,
and I certainly don't want to forget this. I think this is probably one of the most significant projects that we've ever seen in the city of Duluth. That's the opening of the Essentia Medical Campus.
Right.
I think that's a huge real estate story, obviously. But what they've done with that and how beautiful that facility is just simply something that this community can be proud of. And the amount of time and effort that was put in and the amount of money that was put in to build that place. I mean, my goodness, that was almost, I think, $1.5 billion. I don't think it was quite that much. But it was over $1 billion. That's a significant community investment. There's no way around it. And that facility is just simply, you know, you look at that thing and you go up and you can see it in the glass and everything. It's just simply a beautiful, beautiful structure that this city can be proud of.
I agree with that, Gary. It's hands down drop dead gorgeous. And I know that the traffic, you know, while they were building it, it was kind of difficult to get to your appointments. I remember that. I remember going to the wrong. Have you ever gone to the wrong building, Gary, when you go to the doctor down there? I've done it. And man, to get through the Skyway to get there on your appointment time, I mean, oh boy. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I can get lost in those places a little bit. So, but it's beautiful now, and I'm sure that's all been. That's past news. I'm sure the parking is much better now. All right, Mr. Gallagher, we've got a break coming up, but before we do, why don't you give us your phone number?
In the Twin Ports, I'm at 218-390-0615.
And down here in Punta Gorda, Florida, you can reach me 218-348-7653. Hang in there, we're going to come right back and wrap this right up. Hey, welcome back for the last segment of the Twin Ports Real Estate Show for this week. Mr. Gallagher, it's New Year's, and rather than give resolutions, I've never been very good at resolutions, but let's give predictions. I'm going to give mine first. I kind of weighed into it earlier in the show, but I think that this year the real estate market going forward for 2024 is going to be a stable one. I think there's going to be inventory enough for buyers to look for a while and not have to feel stressed into moving too quickly into buying something, but they're going to pay a little bit more on the interest rate. But I think that everybody's settling in to what the interest rates really are, and the inventory is like leveling out, so it's more of a normal market, and I continue to see that going forward. So there's mine. How about you, Mr. Gallagher? What do you think?
Well, I think the big thing to me is I think we're going to start to work our way back to a normal market. I still think mortgage rates are going to play a big part in what's going to happen. Locally here, Jim, I just think we're going to still continue to have somewhat of a housing shortage. I think we could still see multiple offers up here in the Twin Ports. But I think that price growth is going to vary. And I think that there'll be houses that are going to sit on the market and aren't going to sell. And then there are going to be other houses that are going to be very active and very sought after. And so I think it's still going to be an uneven market. But the other thing that I'm really hopeful up here in Twin Ports, Jim, is the new home construction. I'm really excited to see what this new administration is going to be able to accomplish with getting new houses built, affordable new houses, you know, where you don't have to pay $500,000-$700,000 for a house. That's one of the things that I'm going to predict is going to be on the forefront of the Twin Ports news is what we can do here. And primarily Duluth, I want to say Duluth, you know, the Twin Ports, you know, certainly encompasses, you know, Duluth Superior and the surrounding areas. But Duluth, I think that's been a big sticking point for a lot of people is being able to build new houses in town and what that looks like. So that would be one of my big predictions is that we're going to see an easing of the tough to do business in Duluth for home builders.
All right. Well, there we go. That'll do it. So why don't you give out your phone number one more time and then we'll wrap it up and until next
I just want to say Happy New Year to everybody. Thanks for listening to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. You can reach me at 218-390-0615.
All right. Happy New Year to you, Mr. Gallagher. I'm personally glad 2024 is here. To everyone out there, yeah, Happy New Year. Let's make it a good year. And if you want to reach me down here, 218-348-7653. So everybody have a great new year, and thank you for tuning into the Twin Ports Real Estate Show.